Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. During today's podcast, we'll have a discussion with pastor of the Carolina Conference and mental health advocate, Casey Vaughn. So, let us begin. Casey, welcome to our podcast today. Thank you for allowing us to interview you for a couple of minutes. We know that you're busy with all of the seminary life. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What are you doing? What are you going to do in the future? What are your future plans?
Yeah, so obviously I'm here at the seminary. So I am employed by the Carolina Conference as a pastor. And I pastored for about 6 months before I came here. And praise the Lord, in 9 months I will be out of here and back in the Carolinas pastoring, which I don't know if you can tell, I'm very thrilled about going back.
And better weather?
You know, yeah, a little bit. So anyway, no, yeah, so I'm kind of a nerd, probably more than kind of. Most people probably would describe me as introverted. I would affirm that. I have a good, solid Adventist family. And I live with a cat, so that pretty much tells you a lot about what you need to know about me. I'm an INTJ, for those of you who care about that. If you don't know what that is, that's fine. You're not really missing out about much. But yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. So let's start our conversation about mental health. Mm-hmm. So as an Adventist, you know, a couple of months, maybe about a year ago, you started a mental health group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one question that comes to my mind is like, why is a focus on mental health very important? Why is it relevant today in church and in larger society? Why is it important that we discuss mental health?
There's a couple of reasons why I think it's important and why I think it's time for us to push it a little, I don't know, harder than normal. The first would be that we don't talk about it. And in actuality, if you look at society, just the social aspect of society in the past, I don't know, say 50, 70 years, mental health has really come onto the scene as something that people believe as important and a vital part of the whole being mentality in the last, I don't know, at least to me, it's come on the scene in the last maybe 10 years as really important. I mean, people obviously had careers in psychology and all that before that, but mental health is something you sustain. I guess mental wellness has really, I don't know, growing up, no one ever talked to me about that, so. So that's the first reason, just because we haven't as a society or as a church discussed it. And the church is usually about 10 years behind society. So it's just now coming into the church, I think, for me. Obviously, I guess Ellen White talked about it a little bit, but it wasn't important to the church. Until now, it's starting to come a little bit more. Yeah, to come to the fore. So that's the first reason. So then the second reason that I think this is really important is because, obviously, our mental health is deeply connected to our spiritual health, to spirituality in general. Obviously, kind of in the church, we've always somewhat talked about, you know, having a healthy body, you have a healthy mind. And when we said healthy mind, we meant healthy spirituality. And so that's always been something that, I guess, it's been there, but we've never really focused on it. We didn't really connect the dots that were right in front of us. So, you know, and even in the secular world, you see people are really focused on health now with veganism on the rise and people exercising more, like in groups in the park and stuff like that. It's more in vogue, I guess, in society now. But as the Adventist church specifically, we've always had a focus on that. But the reality is we have this aspect of health that we've completely forgotten about. And that's mental health. We can't be spiritually well. And it is at times hard to be physically well if your mental health is, I guess, unhealthy is the best way to say it. If your brain is not healthy, if your brain is sick, then it's impossible, to me at least, to have a healthy spirituality, a healthy body, healthy relationships. If you have scars and stuff you haven't dealt with, and we each do, all of us do have things, but if we don't deal with those things, it impacts our spirituality in ways we don't know until we get there, type of thing.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yes, you know, so what I gather from what you're saying is like we only need to not focus on one area of health, but just all of the areas. Everything is interconnected. Our body is interconnected. And spirituality, or the mind as we have defined it, is not just reading your Bible. It's not just doing those things.
Right.
Well, those things can help.
Right.
There are other things that can help. And talking about those things that can help,
what are some activities that one can do, an individual can do, to increase awareness about their mental health issues, or, you know, to seek that positive mental health, to have a good balance between the body and the mind?
The first thing I would recommend, and it's obviously, it's not necessarily an activity so much as something that I think is every person should do once in their lifetime at least, and that's see a good solid Christian counselor, or if you're Adventist, see a good Adventist counselor, because I cannot tell you, at least for me, how much of an impact that has had in being able to sort through my issues, my past, my scars, my baggage. Like, you don't even know how much you have until you get there. And so it's been very revealing and helped me really, I guess, deal with a lot in healthy ways, teaching me how to deal with my problems, things that come up in healthy ways. So that's the first thing. But honestly, that's going to be a process, finding a counselor that you like, that you fit with. So in the meantime, but other things is, one of my things that my counselor told me is that a lot of times when we're anxious, our heart rate jumps up, and that creates a fight or flight mentality. And when we do that, adrenaline comes into our system. So for instance, say I'm anxious about something, my heart rate's going to start going faster and faster and faster. So one thing that I learned was if I'm sitting down and I haven't been exercising or doing anything physically strenuous and my heartbeat is 100, aside from if you have like a autoimmune thing where your heart races all the time, if your heart's just racing because you're anxious about something, it means your body has flipped from normal processing to fight or flight processing. And when that happens, I know that I'm not thinking clearly about the issue. So for me, one of the little things I do is when I get anxious, I take my pulse. If it's like 100 or around there, then I'm like, okay, I'm not processing this correctly. The way that I'm viewing the situation may not actually be reality. So I need to either take a step back, maybe make sure I'm actually breathing because I hold my breath a lot when I'm anxious. And be able to maybe look at this later, or accept at least the fact that maybe how I'm processing it right now isn't healthy.
Okay. So there is this kind of idea, you know, just a practical thing. If you're having a discussion, everything's getting heated, take your pulse and take a step back, go for a walk, do something that kind of races or de-races you back, you know, calms you down.
Right.
So that's very important. What are some other activities that you can think of, like, you know, for mental health, like, you know, that have helped you in mental health?
Something that's helped me is I am a really intense person, which pretty much anyone who's close to me can tell you that. So I get really passionate. So along the same lines, what you're saying is, honestly, if I'm in a place where, not necessarily anxious, but if I'm frustrated, I don't really get angry so much as I get really, really incredibly frustrated with situations. So I go for a walk. I'll take a 5-minute walk outside, preferably. Now, the place I live is not always conducive to that, because we have winter for like 10 months out of the year. But okay, maybe 9. I was exaggerating by 1 month. But being able to take a walk outside and just be like, I'm okay.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. A good way to, you know, maybe like a walk can help you process through everything that's going in your mind. Maybe debrief. You're right. In a blog, right? Correct?
Yes.
Amos Adventures
and Adventures in Holiness.
Adventures in Holiness.
.blog.
.blog, okay. So how has that helped you in your mental health?
Yeah, so this is actually something that I didn't think would be helpful, but ended up being really helpful. And it's actually something that the blog, he didn't suggest, but my counselor did suggest. Sometimes there's a lot that we have on our minds, right? So maybe you've gone through a breakup where you're really mad at one of your parents or someone that's close to you or whatever, and it's hard to release those feelings, or maybe feel really intensely about something. So one of the things that's been really helpful for me is to journal. And I don't mean journal, dear diary, I did this. If that works for you, great. But that's not how I do it. I write letters, and I write exactly what I'm thinking and feeling. And so that's one of the ways. Another way is one blog thing that I've done on my blog actually rather recently was be able to find closure in writing about certain things in my life. I recently started kind of chronicling, I guess, my life in a memoir form on my blog. And that's been really important for me to just be able to lay certain things to rest and be able to say, okay, this is my life. This is what it was. This is who I am now. And being able to just, I don't know, journal that down and close that chapter.
So those activities also are helpful. Maybe processing, helping,
talking
with someone else, and maybe writing, you know, if that's kind of your thing.
Exactly.
Now, what are some of these connections between mental health and your spirituality? Like, you know, what we talked that, hey, the body and the mind are connected. So these things are important. So what is the specific connection between mental health and spirituality, or as an Adventist, mental health and the Sabbath, for example?
I'll start with the first one, and I don't really know how to explain it other than just to give you examples in my life. I guess I could start with conceptual. The concept is the way that mental health deals with the way that we process reality and how we react or respond to that. So if we have a process, a way of looking at reality that is not healthy, that maybe isn't the right picture. So say, for instance, one thing in my life, I didn't realize that being passive aggressive was not how everyone got angry. I thought that's just how people got angry until I was in college. And so my picture of reality and what I thought was reality wasn't actually what was normal or healthy reality. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about reality. But as far as relating to spirituality, a lot of our things that we grow up are circumstances. And it's not like lay on the couch and it's like, oh, my mom, you know, she spanked me when I was 5. So now I have a hatred of spatulas and I don't bake. It's not like that. I mean, maybe that is for you and if that's how it impacted you, but that's not where I'm going with this. The reality is the way that I respond to people who hurt me is the way that I believe that God responds to me. And maybe that's not hard and fast for everyone, but that's one of the things that I realized for me. I realized that I viewed God, specifically Jesus, actually, it was very weird. I viewed Jesus in the same way I viewed certain people in my life that I felt were very judgmental towards me. And so when I was able to realize that, I worked through my feelings towards them and be like, oh, wow, okay, so I'm okay. You know, they're not necessarily judging me, or even if they did, that's not who Christ is. So being able to separate my past from my theology and untangling those has been really helpful. So that's where it deals with spirituality, is the way that people have treated us or the way that our life has gone gets really entangled with our spirituality. So having healthy mental health or working through things with a counselor or whatever helps to untangle that to some degree, to help see reality. As far as the Sabbath, I didn't really realize how much the Sabbath impacted mental health until I was in college. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I love the Sabbath so much. I don't have to do homework and I don't have to feel guilty about not doing homework. But it's really weird because in Adventism especially, we tend to work a lot on the Sabbath. Not like we're Adventist, we don't actually work. Like we don't do our jobs or whatever. But we fill this day, at least to me, this is my personal take on this, but we fill this day with church and with things that are or could not be genuine. So sometimes we fill it with unhealthy atmosphere things. So like we pressure ourselves into going to things at church, like, okay, there's meetings after church and there's this and there's that. And that's not necessarily bad in and of itself. But for me, one of the things that I had to do was once a month I take a Sabbath off. And as a pastor, it might be a little more difficult, but as a pastor, it's even more so true that the Sabbath becomes a day of work instead of a day of rest. So me just taking a day off, Sabbath off once a month, and sometimes just Sabbath afternoons the month, and just saying, okay, this is my day where I'm just going to go out. Maybe I'll take my hammock out and go hammock in the woods and read, listen to music or whatever, or just taking some time for peace. I think that's where I really found the value in the mental health and Sabbath, is because we have a built-in time to take time for peace, to take time for rest. And that's why, for me, I'm really passionate about not doing things on Sabbath outside of church and Sabbath school, and or at least religious community within those respects. Because to me, like, if we don't get that, I can't quote you a study, but science has proven that if we don't take a day off, we're literally going to go crazy. So,
start getting overworked.
Exactly.
So it's important to take a break. A break is important.
Yeah.
We were talking in our previous podcast, about how activity is really necessary, but also an important part of activity or being active, an activist, being active in the world and interacting with the world. Paradoxically, important part of being active in the world is taking care of yourself.
You
need to be active in that too, It's not just like helping others. It's also like, once upon a time I'm also going to take my own time to to work on my own. Well, thank you for your perspective. I think it's very valid and it's very, very good. Now, so you have started this webpage, right? This Facebook group with mental health and importance remarking and advocating for mental health. Mm-hmm. What are some of the stories or maybe something that you have done for someone else that, you know, you have helped somebody find their path or, you know, other things?
I think I have to start with even before me for that. I had someone who's very close to me in college, and because I learned the concept of certain things aren't my stories to tell, someone who's very close to me, an incredible girl, who actually she was the one who first approached me and was like, "Hey, Casey, you know, I think you might be struggling with depression." And then she told me her story. And she was honest and like, "I see a counselor. I'm actually, you know, on meds for this." And I was shocked that she was willing to, even though I'd known her for years, I was shocked that she was willing to say, "Hey, this is what I'm going through and it's okay." Because up until that point, you know, people who were depressed or had to take meds or would see a counselor were like super screwed up. Like they were just like messed up, and that's why they had to go. But seeing it something that was normal as part of a healthy lifestyle and someone that I really deeply respected and cared about, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I need to take a relook at that. So that's kind of been my approach in all of this, is to really just share, be honest. I mean, there is a point of being too honest, but being able to say, hey, this is what I'm going through. I don't advertise it, but for other people that need to know, like, for instance, the group you're talking about on Facebook of about 25, I think it is, yeah, maybe more now, I don't remember. We started a second group because we don't want to have too many people in one group. But anyway, group of girls, so I kept it gender specific just because, and just being able to say, hey, this is what I'm going through. I know this is a struggle. Sometimes I'll post like pictures with like 3 ways to take care of yourself today, you know? So there have been a surprising amount of girls who've wanted to join the group. I was kind of really shocked and surprised, and a couple of them have shared their stories about how they struggle with anxiety or depression, and a couple of them have talked about how they self-harmed and that kind of thing. So being able to get that off your chest, I think, is really important. So that provides a space to be able to do that, and without disclosing a lot of details, I think having a support system like that, for me at least, and for the other girls in there, has been really valuable.
So having somebody to talk to has been something that's central.
Yeah, and having someone to talk to who's not going to judge you and has been there.
I think that's very important. So, well, we're going to start summarizing maybe a little bit of the findings that you have gathered throughout this process. So you're saying, again, you know, mental health is important. We have neglected it for a little while. It's in scripture.
Yeah.
It's in there. It's connected to the Sabbath. It's connected to your spirituality. It's very important. It's at the forefront. You know, mm-hmm. Talk to somebody, have conversations, create a group, have a support system. All of those things are key and central to maintain your mental health.
Yes.
Now, as we start to close, and maybe one or two last questions, something that happens usually is that people gather themselves, right? Like they go through this positive mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are on the right track.
Yeah.
But life happens. You know, stuff happens. You get fired. You go through a breakup. You do, I don't know, something happens to your family, you know, and all of a sudden you start following negative habits.
Oh, yeah.
Not only physical, but also mental.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you have found in your experience and maybe helping others, counseling others, maybe through your counselors and what they have said to not get in the ditch again? You know, I think that's the goal is to continue going up, right?
Yes.
Continue moving towards the positive side. So what are some of the things that we can do to counteract the negative events of life?
The first thing, honestly, there's two main things that have been really important for me. One is having a friend group who understands mental health and can say, hey, you know, I understand why you feel that way about that issue, but like, I don't know, it's just like, you're not thinking clearly about that. So that's one of the things my best friend is really good at. Like, I'll be talking to her about my life, and she'll be like, hey, you know, I understand why you feel that way, but maybe you're not thinking clearly. Maybe this isn't a picture of reality that you want to take with you, and here's an alternate perspective. So having people around you that are mental, on their own journeys toward being mentally healthy, I think is really important. So that's the first thing, because honestly, even if you have a counselor, you're not going to see them. Like, you can't just call your counselor up in the moment and be like, oh my gosh, I'm going through this breakup, like, things are horrible. But you can call your friends. And so that's the first thing I would say. Just having people who are aware and who are gentle and kind enough, but strong enough to tell you the truth about maybe your thought processes. The second thing would be to have a counselor. I know that there's been a lot of times, one thing that's really thrilled me in the past few months with counseling is, when I first started going to counseling, there were a lot of super negative and just unhealthy thought patterns in my own mind. Like, you know, things that people tell you or things that you've come to believe about different situations. So, like, your impulse thoughts when a situation happens. Like, oh, because of this, this is true or whatever. So, one thing that I'm really excited about and I praise the Lord for and my counselor is over the past 2 years that I've been seeing him, I can finally see in the past few months how my thought patterns have finally begun to shift. So chronic counseling is so important.
So it's a gradual process.
Yes.
It's not something that's going to click right away.
No.
It's going to
There will be, in the beginning, it's going to be like really slow, and then you'll be a huge amount of growth, and it's going to get really slow again. At least in my experience. So, and eventually you'll have your little milestones, like I can hear my counselor's voice in my head versus my own negative thoughts, or oh, I thought healthy about this by myself. One thing I'm really proud of myself is, and I don't know that it's super healthy, but I think it was important for me to note, is that I recently went through this horrible breakup. I mean, it wasn't, there was no malice, but it was just, it broke me. And I was able to go through that in a way that was healthy. And I was able to process that all without my counselor. Now, I'm talking to him fairly soon about it, but I was able to handle it in a healthy way. I didn't have a lot of unhealthy behaviors. I was able to handle it. In a way that was responsible and in a way it was healthy.
You didn't go into the ditch.
Exactly.
You went, you kind of like learn how to...
Yes, and instrumental to that was that friend group and had that chronic years of counseling. Okay. So, yeah.
Maybe one more thing that you would like to add as we
It's hard to incorporate spirituality into this without sounding like, you know, the honest, but in my opinion, misguided people like, just read your Bible and pray. Like, to be honest, there's been a lot of times when it's depressed me more than it's helped me. Prayer is something that actually is really helpful to me. But find your own thing spiritually, I think, that helps you. Sometimes for me, and this might seem really weird to some people, but sometimes for me, it's reading, like, Steps to Christ versus, you know, maybe some of the heavier stuff, like Isaiah, which I love the book of Isaiah, so it's a really bad example, but you get the point. Or reading something light and spiritual, making a devotional book versus like, the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to strike these people down, you know, something like that. And then just prayer. So that's important to keep that incorporated. But the important thing about that is don't beat yourself up if you don't do that. Because a lot of times in our spirituality, the things that discourage us most and make us feel less worthy and can push us back into that ditch is when we guilt ourselves about spirituality. That's a huge, huge block to mental health in Adventism and in the Christian world at large. So
sounds good. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you here in Disrupted Adventism. We hope that you enjoyed your time here, and thank you again for listening to all of those that are listening. Again, this is Casey Vaughn, pastor at the Carolina Conference and writer at adventuresinholiness.blog.
That was our interview with the mental health advocate and pastor of the Carolina Conference, Casey Vaughn. Thank you for listening today. I hope that we have intrigued you a little bit more and that you decide to stay for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.